Joining me in studio now for a closer look at the trading day that was is Nick Kunze from Bridge Stockbrokers. Thanks so much for joining us today, Nick. Well, international news has been dominating investor sentiment right now, and the ECB's address, I guess, standing front and center, highlighting that 2018 strength could keep inflation in check, and this being the main reason for the ECB holding back from tapering its stimulus program any further. Talk us through market reaction to that.
Yeah, so good evening, Lisa. It was, as you pointed out, it was quite a dovish statement out of Draghi. We've been used to the whole pro-Europe talk from everyone. Everyone's involved in Europe at the moment. They all think European equities have got the upside. Mm-hmm. But I think a little bit of reality check today when those minutes came out. Draghi and his commission warning on potential downside to economic growth, warning that maybe a little bit too much enthusiasm for European markets. So I think a little bit of reality check, and on the back of that we saw the euro taking a bit of a knock and the dollar strengthening, and in fact the dollar, I think that today the dollar being the dominant theme, I mean, was strong against most of the crosses as we saw.
Absolutely. I mean, this, of course, amidst all the trepidation about real economic growth. I mean, we've got investor focus still on global tensions, geopolitical tensions. I mean, where's your focus right now? Because it's really hard to separate the two at this stage.
It is. And if you had to unpack the sort of trading day, I mean, today is the first, I guess, in a week or so that we've actually seen a real sort of a risk-on feel. You know, we saw that the yen weakened significantly. We saw gold come off the boil a bit, down $15 at one stage. You know, your risk sort of haven assets taking a bit of a knock. I mean, that's how the day kind of started. And as we progressed, we had a flurry of tweets regarding Syria, as you said, maybe a little bit of tension loosening a little bit. And then we came in with some decent numbers out of BlackRock, which seemed to calm the market a bit. And you know, that's kind of how we ended out on the trading day, a little bit firmer and feeling like a risk coming back onto the market.
That BOF expectation has been set pretty high when it comes to the corporate earnings season stateside overall. And of course, that more emphatically kicking off tomorrow.
Exactly. And typically, you know, but funny enough, this time round, we haven't seen the whole earnings Wall Street game. You know, they sort of, they talk the sort of the markets up going into earnings season, and then they tend to ratchet the earnings down and get the beats that they're looking for. And funny enough, very high expectations, as you said. I mean, 17-18% increase looking on EPS, which is big. So the markets, I think this earnings season is quite a big one with regards to that, because these stocks are priced pretty much for perfection, despite the recent sell-off we've had. So markets looking for a very solid set of earnings coming out of US.
Yeah. When it comes to the kind of impact that's being felt locally, yes, we've seen the rand weaken slightly, moving above that key 12 against the dollar mark. But even though risk-taking is taking a bit of a knock, you've got the rand seemingly outperforming its emerging market peers here. And interestingly enough, it seems to have emerged as this unlikely haven as bears, you know, turn on the lira, the peso, the ruble.
Yeah, exactly. The only outlier, the other basket you mentioned, the real getting a bit of a bid with the rand. Mm. I think that, you know, for years the carry trade's been alive and well, and it was put on the back burner the last 6 months while we waited for the rating agencies to grade South Africa. But now it seems to be back in favour. So typically, long something like the rand against short the dollar, etc., has been the sort of carry trade the last couple of weeks. So as you said, it's been quite unusual, and a long time since we've seen the rand as a safe haven play in this turmoil.
While that, on the currency scene, on the equities front, the JSE seeing pretty cautious trade emerge, very low volumes being going through today.
Extremely low. And I think if there's one takeaway from our local trading that we can say is that it feels like investors, traders, asset managers have been sitting on their hands for 2 weeks. It really, the volumes have been down at one stage, I think last week down 28% on the day from year on year. That's significant for the start of an earnings season and the start of a new quarter. So very, very cautious. But I think we can tie that in with the general cautiousness we've seen with the sort of warmongering in the last week as well.
What's interesting is that you've got, on a day like today, resilient, falling back on the mixed response to that independent review, which it came through on Tuesday evening. And then you've got Steinhoff rocketing on easing debt concerns. But what that illustrates is a very fickle market right now, which is reacting differently to headlines on a day-to-day basis.
Very, very fickle and very instantaneous. Look, we live in this instant news space. I mean, there's black boxes and hedge funds that rely just on tweets. I mean, they literally trade on algos. So we seem to be more in that space in South Africa now, where you're seeing the last sort of 7-8 years when it's been a steady upward, it's been a relatively low risk environment, and the ETFs have come into favor, and you buy a basket of stocks and hope they go up. This year has been very, very different. And in fact, you get the feeling that a lot of asset managers and traders, a lot of what the Americans call CTAs, are very active. You know, they're literally changing from day to day. They're changing in and out of sectors on a daily basis.
Yeah.
And they are the only ones that seem to be in the marketplace, because the majority, I think, of the longer term asset managers, certainly the star of this quarter, are nowhere to be seen.
Of course, we've got Steinhoff, as you can see there, up 1.6% by the close of the session. Initially, though, it was up more than 10% from record lows. And this on the back of the news that it's raised, 3.75 billion rand by selling 6% off Star. I mean, what do you read into that, given the fact that we don't actually know how deep this hole is?
No, we don't. And I mean, look, we have some, I mean, I have colleagues and friends who hold the share, and you know, a bit of good news is long overdue for them. I mean, there's been long suffering shareholders since December. We don't know. In fact, if I had to look to some of the bonds that are trading in Europe, the startup euro denominated bonds, I mean, they're pricing this thing under zero. They're trading under par. So from one side, you've got the bond traders who are saying this thing is worth nothing, and yet the equity guys in South Africa are trying to put some sort of value on it. So yes, but to go back, no one knows.
Absolutely. So amidst that, what's your stock pick right now?
Like ABM InBev at the moment. It was a little bit weaker today. It's been weak the last couple of last month or so, and decent dividend yield, emerging market focus, and a little bit of risk off environment. That's what we'll take for today.
Let's leave it there. Thanks so much, Nick, for having joined us in studio this evening. Nick Kunze is, of course, with Bridge Stockbrokers. And higher commodity prices, a surge in diamond output, and a 10.4% jump in iron ore production is what saw February's mining output holding up better than expected. For the year period, we saw the sector expanding 3.1% and up 0.9% on a month-on-month basis. For more on the sector's performance, I'm joined by Annabel Bishop, who's, of course, chief economist at Investec. Thanks so much, Annabel, for joining us in studio today. So, as I say, year on year, we've got mining production up 3.1% in February, and that's from January's revised 2.9%. What's your overall sense of the numbers today, especially considering that in the 3 months ended February, seasonally adjusted production actually eased back by 2.4% compared with the previous 3 months?
Look, I think, as you're saying, anyway, these figures are all backwards looking. You know, we're in April already, so we obviously looking forward to the middle of the year. But I think certainly, you know, the fact is that commodity prices have lifted significantly. It's benefited South Africa's mining sector. We're not seeing negative growth rates return, let's put it that way. Mm. And of course, that assisted GDP growth as well for South Africa significantly last year, lifting us up from the 0% mark, along with the recovery in the agricultural sector, to close to 3%. So obviously a positive outcome, and today's figures, you know, along that line as well. You know, looking forwards, obviously we need to see this growth sustained now in the mining sector. And of course, that comes down to a lot of the regulatory issues, the policy issues, but of course, what's happening globally as well from commodity prices.
Absolutely, because that is pivotal, especially given the fact that you've got your PGM production figures having been in the doldrums for some time, and that not seeing the recovery we'd like to see.
Well, that's exactly right. And on the other hand, commodity prices, you're seeing, you know, a surge in the oil price, particularly. Obviously, that's part of a safe haven bet, given the issues that are happening globally, the geopolitical concerns, certainly the worries around Syria and Russia and the United States. And of course, obviously looking at iron ore as well, quite reflective of the pickup in global economic growth, I think.
Yeah. Having said that, you know, as you say, what's been leveraged off is higher commodity prices and, you know, this demand being driven by sustained synchronized upswing in global economy. Do you see South Africa leveraging fully off this and getting its act together in time? Because we have missed this commodity boat before.
Well, that's going to be the huge challenge for the Ramaphosa presidency. And obviously, they're very keen for us to, as you said, leverage off this global growth boom. But I think the real issue that South Africa is seeing at the moment is trying to sort out its internal institutional strengths, its state structures. And of course, obviously, with the 2019 elections approaching, a lot of political issues as well happening within the ANC itself. So these are all, I think, you know, taking focus. Looking at what the president obviously would like to achieve, there's an investment summit and a job summit coming up. And of course, you know, the land summit as well. And they obviously are looking, obviously, for fast economic growth, for significant investment, to leverage off global economic growth, improve our exports, and of course, reindustrialize the economy. But it is a long haul. It's not something that happens quickly because we need to make significant structural reforms. And these haven't been made to the extent that they needed to in the past several years.
We are starting to hear the right noises, though, and you alluded to it, you know, the right noises coming through specifically from the minerals and resources sector and the Department of Minerals and Resources, rather, and that's seeing a rise in investor confidence. How quickly do you see that translating into, into real investment in the sector?
Well, you know, the issue at the moment is, you know, business confidence was still at suppressed levels in the first quarter of this year, still below 50, despite the political change. So, you know, it did see a significant jump up, but that was really on optimism on the future. It wasn't because of a pickup in activity and a pickup in profitability. Looking forwards now, for fixed investment to pick up in South Africa, for that to become something which drives momentum, you'd actually need an expectation that economic demand is going to strengthen going forwards. Private sector corporates don't invest because they are looking for anything other really than an expectation of a lift in profits, expectation of a lift in demand for their goods. And of course, if that's not believed to be forthcoming, then of course we won't see that improvement. So obviously the right noises, you say, are coming from government, a lot of the repair starting to take place. But ultimately, we'd actually need to see South Africa really targeting strong economic growth of 3% plus.
Yeah, and that economic scenario or demand scenario that you say, you know, everything dependent on is very vulnerable right now. I mean, we've got concerns that U.S. imposed tariffs, on China for steel exports to the U.S. could see iron ore demand taper off, and that one of the segments that's actually bolstered things over this period.
You know, that's exactly it. A lot's been coming out of the U.S., you know, whether it's the conflict with Russia and Syria, whether it's obviously the concerns in the markets about a steep interest rate hike trajectory, of course, now the trade war with China. And of course, these types of events do move you into a global risk-off environment, which of course then causes substantial currency weakness. And of course, that, if it persists, could be negative for interest rates and obviously economic growth as well. So we're sitting still in a volatile period. You know, the Rand has been exceptionally volatile in recent months. And I think, you know, looking forwards, we're probably not out of the woods yet. But I think what's interesting is we're quite far removed from the conflict that's happening in Russia and or in Syria with the Russians and the US. So from that perspective, we've seen a bit of lift in the currency. But obviously, from a trade wars perspective, you know, the bottom line will be if it does escalate and continue to deteriorate the relationship, you'd actually end up seeing higher global inflation. And of course, that then itself would spark a faster interest rate trajectory, you know, in the US in terms of its increases and be negative for global growth. So there are a lot of risks coming through on the horizon.
And amidst it all, interestingly enough, we had diamonds amongst the main positive contributors, up 42.9%. What's driven that jump in particular?
Well, I think, you know, what one does need to bear in mind that obviously 1 month's growth is not reflective of the entire period. And indeed, you could actually see a situation which probably happened in February where a lot of the production could, you know, have been delayed or pushed through in February because of the holidays that you saw in January. And of course, as well, there are timing issues as well in terms of clearing. So, you know, where we're really sitting now, we would not expect to see that growth continue for the year ahead. But of course, good growth in commodity prices, whether it's diamonds or iron ore, any of these areas we've been looking at, is reflective of this global synchronized upswing that we've been seeing.
Well, let's leave it there. Annabel, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for having joined us in studio this evening. Of course, Annabel Bishop is chief economist at Investec. And we hit pause on the conversations now before we shift focus to international news making headlines today. That's coming up straight after this break, so don't go away. Welcome back as we shift focus to international news making headlines now. While we may have Carrefour going toe-to-toe with ShopRite in Kenya as it expands its presence in the East African country, the French retailer's first quarter numbers, which showed a slowdown in sales growth, have disappointed investors, so much so that it's driven its share price to its lowest level in 6 years. Let's take a look.
Trouble at home has seen French retailer Carrefour post a slowdown in first quarter sales growth. Its shares falling 3.6% on Thursday to their lowest level in 6 years. Europe's largest retailer pulled in just over 20 billion euros, slightly below the median estimate of a Reuters poll of analysts. In January, it announced plans to cut costs and jobs in an effort to lift profits. That came back to bite when workers went on strike. Bad weather also contributed to the poor sales, but the biggest problem isn't a one-off. Carrefour is reporting a cautious outlook for the year ahead, citing weakness in its core French market, largely down to competition from online giants like Amazon. It plans to accelerate its own online strategy, which should bear fruit later down the track, with management saying the poor quarter confirms at least that the transformation plan is the right way forward.
In the meantime, U.S. Congress has cracked the whip on Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, and that in day two of his testimony, with some representatives pressing hard for more information on Facebook's excessive tracking of its users. Let's cross to Brodmann now for more analysis on that and other news making headlines today with the Deutsche Welle team standing by at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Brodmann.
Thanks, Alicia. Let's start off with a look at news around Facebook. Its CEO facing questions from almost 100 different politicians in nearly 10 hours of public testimony. That was to establish the social media giant's data collection and privacy policies. This, of course, coming after the data leak from Cambridge Analytica. This having a huge effect on the company's revenue streams because it would specifically impact advertising revenue. So for a closer look at this, let's cross to Daniel Koop from Deutsche Welle, who's standing by at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. Daniel, thanks so much for your time today. So how much of Facebook's advertising revenue is at stake here?
Yeah, very interesting. Facebook at least said that by now all of this so far has not really hurted them. We don't know, though, if this is true. By the end of this month, Facebook will be releasing their user numbers and also how much users spend in average on the platform. And yes, all of this could have a much bigger impact for the entire industry. Because, Bronwyn, we have to face it, the business model of Facebook, Google and Twitter, they're still going to be the same. They want to collect our data, but if from now on our privacy data issues will be top priority, this could mean that this will mostly affect companies specialized in individualized adverts. All of this sounds also like a possible knock-on effect. The interesting thing now, if those actions are really going to follow. Those are big words, of course, by Mark Zuckerberg. He said in front of the Senate that from now on, data security will have a bigger importance than making more money or the fear of maybe losing advertising companies. Because, as I said, new reforms could mean a big impact for the entire industry.
Yeah, absolutely. GBH Insights saying that about 3% of Facebook's advertising revenue at stake there, which equates to about $2 billion. But looking at other corporate news, Volkswagen meeting today to discuss those management changes. What are you hearing on your end about what is likely to play out?
Yeah, a little bit of chaos there. First, the board meeting was scheduled for tomorrow. Now it is happening while we speak, and journalists have been warned that this could be a very long evening. So all the investors will be waiting for answers. How a possible new Volkswagen company could look like. The new appointment of Herbert Diess as the CEO seems to be a done deal. That's pretty much for sure. He is not just going to be the CEO, but will most likely also keep his position as as brand chief, so even more power for him. And that's the interesting thing, most likely the company will be going through big reforms since a long time. VW could be split up into different groups or divisions. One group would be most likely Volkswagen, that's what we're hearing, Seat and Skoda, so the big car brands. The other, sport cars, and another one, commercial vehicles. And we're learning also, and that's what's making investors very thrilled actually, that the commercial vehicle division could even become a public listing, maybe here at the Frankfurt Stock Exchange. But so far, all of this are, of course, speculations. We'll be listening very closely to what they have to say.
We'll be catching up on those developments as they unfold. But in other company news, we have that T-Mobile and Sprint are rekindling their merger talks. But just how likely is it that a tie-up is going to emerge from this?
Yeah, this is very interesting. An investor made a very funny comparison a little bit earlier. It's like when you go on a date and you want to be together, but there are some things, maybe your parents or friends, that you know don't want you to be together. And this has been the same with Sprint and T-Mobile as well. They have been flirting for quite some time already, trying to get together, trying to make this official, but so far it has not worked. Now we're hearing that those talks are again taking place, which is making investors very excited. Telecom, that's a parent company of T-Mobile. Those shares were actually jumping after this news was breaking, because we have to know that the market for T-Mobile in the United States is actually very important. When they started at the beginning, it was rather difficult for them. Network coverage was a big issue, but now they are one of the strongest divisions of Deutsche Telekom. And with Sprint, also a very big cell phone operator in the United States, they could even become bigger. So this news has been very much appreciated. Let's see if this relationship at the end finally is going to happen.
We'll have to wait and see what he has in store for us on that next tweet when we chat again. Daniel, let's leave it there for today, though. Daniel Koop is from Deutsche Welle, and that's a wrap of your global news headlines. Alicia, it's back to you.
Thanks for that, Bronwyn. And that's where we leave things with you for this half hour. Straight after the break, though, independent analyst Frans de Klerk gives you some technical share analysis, and that's on Talking Technical. I'll see you back at 7 o'clock with your news. We also catch up with Group 5's CEO, Themba Mosai. He'll be taking us through the company's interim numbers, which was, of course, released today. And then we also hone in on the kind of pressure the listeriosis outbreak has exerted now on the pork producers within South Africa. So don't go away.